And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. Excuse me. Them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? Or who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
My text this morning would be Matthew 21:10. And he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this?
Yeah.
Well, we just read 10, 11 verses there, and I'm sure that you picture the scene just like I do. Here is an entourage of people following a donkey, a man, riding into the beloved city, Jerusalem, on the back of that donkey, that animal, that beast of burden. Now, you've seen motorcycle gangs ride into town, haven't you? You've heard the putt-putt roar of a couple score of motorcycles and leather jackets, long hair flowing in the wind, and they're riding into your town. It's kind of like they traded in their horses and got motorcycles.
Yeah.
Remember how the horses used to ride in, and it was gunfire everywhere. and so people kind of tighten up sometimes when a large group of motorcyclists come riding in, especially the way they're dressed and the way they look sometimes. Although they're probably some of the nicest people you'd want to meet. But anyway, it stirs things up. It makes you look. It makes you talk. Did you see that bunch of motorcycles come to town? What are they here for? What are they up to? What are they going to do? Well, here comes Jesus into town riding on the back of a donkey. And people are saying, What's going on? What is this? Who is this? And people are behind him and people are in front of him. Now, the Bible says it was a very great multitude of people that had joined him on his trip through Jericho into the city of Jerusalem. And so he was coming in and all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? Who is this? And they had their garments thrown over the back of the donkey, and they set him there on, and they had their garments on the pathway that the donkey would ride, and they had branches of trees cut down, and they strawed them in the way the Bible says, and they're shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! And so the people are hearing all this when he pulls into Jerusalem, and they're saying, Who is this? Who is this? Maybe somebody poked another somebody and said, Well, what is this strange procession? We haven't seen it on this wise before. They're heading into the city of Jerusalem. They're moving toward the temple. What's going on? What's going to happen? Who is this? Who is this? Well, who knows all their thoughts? Maybe somebody said, Well, this is a religious fanatic, you know, and he just wants to start another church. He wants to start another sect. You know, we've got the Essenes, and we've got the Herodians, and we've got the Pharisees, and we've got the Sadducees, and so on. And so maybe this guy, he's a lunatic, you know, and he wants to start another sect. And somebody else might have said, No, I think he's an insurrectionist, another rebel seeking a following so he can resist Roman rule and all of these things must have been going on. I just like to think about it. What was going on in their minds? Anyway, the Bible says the whole city was moved, saying, who is this? So there was a lot of talk going all over through town, from store to store, from merchant man to merchant man, from house to house. Anybody on the street, in the marketplace, who is this? Who is this? What's happening in Jerusalem? Of course, they were all looking and waiting, you know, for Elijah, and they were waiting for the Messiah to come. And so there were questions about his identity everywhere. Well, let me interrupt the story here for a moment and say, ever since his humble appearance on earth, ever since he first came, the world is still asking, who is he?
Amen.
Who is he? Some folks are saying, and if you've gone to school, you've heard it, he's just a good man.
Yeah.
Some say it's in the song. Some say he's just a good man who walked this earthly side. But he's Jesus, my Lord and my God.
Amen.
Man. And some say that he's the greatest teacher that ever lived. I remember when a doctor's son said that to Brother Wiseman one time. And Brother Wiseman said, if you really believe he's the greatest teacher that ever lived, why don't you do what he says?
Yeah.
I thought that was an excellent response.
Yes, sir.
But he didn't. So people are talking. Well, they're musing over who is this man Jesus, this historical figure who lived and died and never rose again in their set of beliefs. So some say he's a good man. Some say he was the greatest teacher that ever lived. And Hugh Schoenfield, the Jew who wrote the book of the Passover plot, called him a deceiver, a pretender, an imposter. I read the book, not by choice. I read it because it was assigned to me one time, and I said to myself, by a friend, a school teacher, superintendent of schools, in fact, and I said, I'm going to do this. And boy, when I got done, was I hot. Oh, boy, I'll tell you. I mean, you attack Jesus like that, and that makes me flex. That makes me ready for battle. Verbal battle, intellectual battle, religious battle, any kind of battle anybody wants. Jesus is real. By the time I'm done here this morning, I hope you believe that Jesus Christ is real. The risen Son of God, alive forevermore. Praise the Lord. But he wrote this book, The Passover Plot. I don't recommend it to anybody. It didn't hurt my faith at all. It was given to me, I think, with the intention of destroying my faith. All it did to me was make me thankful for what I know and what I have and what I have experienced. Aren't you glad you know who Jesus
Amen.
Is today?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he says that Jesus was a very intelligent person. And he came here and he studied the scriptures and he learned the scriptures really well. And he knew all the Old Testament prophecies regarding the Messiah. And he said, I think I'll play the part. I think I can fulfill all those scriptures. And so he would put himself in the setting and he would deceive the people, and he was nothing but an imposter. That's what the book said. On the other hand, some people sincerely say he was a great religious leader. Other people say that he was the second person of the Holy Trinity. Or some say the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Some even say that he is deity. Oneness, Trinitarians, many of them say he is deity. Well, the Apostle John said he's the Word made flesh.
Yeah,
praise the Lord.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul said he was God manifested in the flesh.
Yeah.
Now back to the story. The multitude that surrounded Jesus said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Do you notice? It's not recorded that the multitude that was following him said, well, we heard that he was a prophet, and we heard that he was from Galilee, Nazareth of Galilee. No, sir, no, sir. When they were asked, who is this? The multitude spoke with authority. They gave more than an opinion. They stood up and said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee.
Amen.
Well, I think in order for us to understand the authority that I read in those words and the authority I feel in the spirit that emanates from those words when I read them is that I have to remember And I'd like to call to your remembrance who was in that retinue of people. Who was in that great multitude of people. Who was among that entourage of people. I can name one and show you in the Bible that he was there. Bartimaeus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Yeah. He's the one that sat by the roadside near Jericho begging. And when he heard that Jesus was coming by, he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they tried to quiet this man down, but he wouldn't quiet down. The more they tried to quieten him down, the louder he cried, Jesus, son of David, have mercy. I can just see him ripping their hands away from his mouth as he continued to cry. And Jesus not only heard that cry, he felt that cry. And he stopped in his tracks and he said, bring him to me. And he threw off the blind man's coat and they brought him to Jesus. And Jesus said, what will you that I do unto you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Receive your sight. And the blind man could see. And you know what he did? He followed Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. He left his place. He left his blind man's coat. And he got in the crowd that was following Jesus to Jerusalem. And when they got in Jerusalem, and when they said, who is this? I can see Bartimaeus. And let me answer that question. This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. You see, he was touched by Jesus. He was healed supernaturally by Jesus. And he wanted to know more about Jesus. And you can better believe that he was asking questions all along the journey there and finding out more about Jesus, just like you and I do after we receive him in our hearts and are baptized in his name and filled with the Holy Ghost. We begin to want to learn about him. In Matthew 11, he said, come unto me and learn of me. Learn of me. Learn of me. And I want to be ever learning and able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Not unable. So Bartimaeus was there. Mark 10:52. And Jesus said unto him, when he healed him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. Listen to this. And followed Jesus in the way. And then Luke 19:1 says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Remember now, he's not in Jerusalem yet, but when he got to Jerusalem, the people began asking the question, who is this? Who is this? What's going on? What is this procession all about? Well, Zacchaeus wanted to see who he was. You see, the question of who he was prominent even before he entered Jerusalem. When the whole city said, who is this? But I can just see Zacchaeus slipping down that tree, going, having Jesus to his house for dinner. He could afford a good meal. He was rich, the Bible said. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. That means the crowd, the large crowd, the multitude of people, because he was so short. He was little of stature, and he had to climb up in that sycamore tree to see Jesus when he came by. And when Jesus walked under the tree, he stopped. And he looked up. See, Jesus had feelings. Jesus had praise the Lord, this feeling that he got from that tree. And he just stopped and he looked up. He says, come on down, Zacchaeus. I'm having dinner at your house today. Hallelujah. And you know what happened at that house today? Jesus led that man to Jesus.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Jesus saved him. Jesus saved him that very day. So says the Holy Bible. And that's at Jericho also, near Jericho. And so, I just can't help but believe that Zacchaeus joined that crowd and followed him. It was exciting. And it was more than just a bandwagon going by where everybody wants to get on the winning side, you know, and show themselves to be on the winning side. No. I think Zacchaeus followed because Jesus had done a miracle for him. Jesus had transformed his life, had changed him completely. He started paying people back things that he had taken unlawfully, illegally, or dishonestly. Praise the Lord. That's the kind of experience that thrills me, when people's lives are changed when they come to Jesus. So let's just assume that if I may, that Zacchaeus was in the crowd. And when they said, who is this? I can see Zacchaeus. Can I answer that question? This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. The prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Praise the Lord. So now I know why they were so certain. The stranger that they didn't know had healed Bartimaeus. The stranger that they didn't know had saved Zacchaeus. And who knows who else was in that multitude of people that Jesus had supernaturally touched one way or the other. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so when he's riding in to town, you know, there's another scene there, and that is some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. I don't have any scriptural proof for this, but I'd just love to read and think of what might have happened. I wouldn't be surprised if those Pharisees had gone up to those Hosanna shouting people and said, stop that, stop that, stop that. You're a Pharisee, aren't you? You're a Sadducee. No, stop that, stop that. And they couldn't get to the people because the people just ignored the religious hierarchy. And so they went up to Jesus and said, you stop them. I think they're admitting defeat there. You stop them. And Jesus said, I'm not going to stop them. If I stop them, you have the rocks crying out. How are you going to stop them? You know, the rocks crying out. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I remember one time when the dirt cried out. You read that in the Bible?
Yeah.
Can anybody find a place in the Bible where the dirt cried out?
Yeah.
Sure, Genesis, right? Right in the beginning. He took some dirt and he formed a man and named him Adam, formed a woman, right? Named her Eve. And they cried out.
Yeah.
All kinds of things. That's dirt crying out. What's wrong with stones crying out?
Right.
We serve a supernatural God, an all-powerful God. Is there anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
No. The Bible asks that question. We answer it emphatically, no. So some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Amen. Now, today, back to today, we have opinions everywhere.
Yes.
People are saying who Jesus is and who he isn't. But you and I have much more to offer this world than an opinion, than an opinion or a trite statement. Amen. Like Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus, you and I have something to offer this world. If they ask us who Jesus is,
yeah,
we don't have to go to the library and look up A, B, C, E, F, G, H, I, J, J, E, S, U, S, and go on the shelf and bring down a book to find out who Jesus is.
Right.
We know who, how many know who Jesus is?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He's in our hearts right now. We know who he is. Amen. Because like Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus, we have had a personal supernatural experience with the Master,
yes,
with the stranger of Galilee. Praise God.
Amen.
And I heard a statement many years ago, don't know where it came from, but it said, the man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument.
Yes, sir.
And I've had that statement debated with me too, but I wrote a story about it, and I looked for it last night, and I couldn't find it. I wanted to bring it and read it today. When I find it, I will. But the man with an experience is never at the mercy of an argument. And so I couldn't find the story last night, so I said, well, I'm just going to read John chapter 9. The blind man, at the pool of Siloam, Jesus made the mud, put it on his eye, sent him to the pool of Siloam, go wash in the pool of Siloam. The man didn't. He came back seeing. And he had never seen Jesus before. And so they asked this man, how did you get your eyesight? Is this really the man? Brought him to his parents, asked the parents, and the parents were afraid of being excommunicated from the church. So they finally brought the boy in and they said, who did this? And what's his name? And who is he? He said, well, I don't have an argument. I just have an experience.
Yeah.
I don't have a big argument because I don't really know the man. He's a stranger to me. But he came by and he told me what to do and I did it. And I got my eyesight back. I was blind from birth. Look, I see pretty well. Oops, you got a little speck of dust here. He was seeing pretty well, you know. Perfect eyesight. And so And so he said, well, I can't answer all your arguments, and I don't have anything to debate, but one thing I know, once I was blind, but now I see. And when you and I are asked by this unbelieving, ungodly, unregenerated world about Jesus, we can say, one thing I know is once I was lost and now I'm found. Once I was blind, now I see. Once I was deaf to the gospel, now I hear. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We don't have to take the back seat.
Right.
We don't have to let them overwhelm us with debates and arguments. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
What about the Apostle Paul? At midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. That's quite an experience, isn't it? He had all this head knowledge. He knew the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah. Inside and out, frontward and backward. A to Z, Z to A. The Apostle Paul was a highly educated man. Much learning to make thee mad, the governor accused him of. So, O King, he's standing before King Agrippa. It was high noon. It was 12 o'clock, our time. At midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun. Okay, can you picture it? I like to picture it. Here's Paul outside Damascus, riding along, the sun is shining, you know. Maybe look at, up at the sun, squint your eyes a little bit, a little water dribbles down, you know, you looked at a pretty bright object up there, and then another light appears. And it outshines the sun.
Yeah.
Outshines the sun. You know what happened? He was blind for 3 days from that experience. But he was healed. Praise God.
Amen.
At midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, that's a stranger. I've never met this one before. Who art thou? Who is this? Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He knew it was supernatural. He knew God had to be in this thing. But who are you, Lord? Who are you, Jehovah? Jehovah answered, I am Jesus.
Yes.
I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest.
Amen.
And by the way, he wasn't persecuting Jesus physically, because Jesus had already ascended physically into heaven. He was persecuting the church.
Yes.
See how closely you and I are with Jesus, how closely associated we are with Jesus. He that touches you touches the apple of my eye, he said. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are precious to Jesus. You are his very body. Amen. They were persecuting the body. They were persecuting the church, and Jesus took it personally. They hate me, they'll hate you. Right?
Yeah.
So when you're persecuted, just remember, it's Jesus they're persecuting. You are one with him.
Yeah.
That makes it a whole lot easier to bear.
Amen.
Amen. I am not better than my master. Praise the Lord. And so Paul, instead of all the arguments, you notice when he stands before King Agrippa, he doesn't go into the book of Leviticus and bring out all the ceremonial law and all the arguments and all. No, he doesn't do that at all. He just says, at midday, O King, I had an experience. I had an experience that's brought me this far, and it's going with me.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. It was a real experience.
Amen.
I read a real man. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The ascended Christ, the risen Christ.
Hallelujah.
And today, in spite of stubborn unbelief, this gospel has been spread around the world. This truth has gone from nation to nation. And this truth has continued from generation to generation. And this truth has survived hundreds and hundreds of centuries of years of persecution. Fierce, cruel persecution. And this truth has been preached against. and it's been denounced by the intelligentsia as unscientific, unworthy of our consideration. Yet it always stays alive as the only hope of the world.
Amen.
Praise God. I'll tell you, you're on the right side. Amen. The message of Jesus has mysterious power. Mysterious power. Even the unbelieving world must admit that it has mysterious power. Amen. And the world and their council, the prison and incarceration, the psychologist could not change Ted Jefferson. How many remember Ted Jefferson? That mighty black preacher that preached to my close friend, that preached in this church every time I could get him. Amen. Love him. But he was in prison. He was a three-time loser, up for murder, incarcerated. Went through all the psychology they could apply to him, and they could not change him. But one day he met Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus totally changed him.
Amen.
He who was sentenced to life without parole changed his life. And Governor Cui of Minnesota gave him a pardon extraordinaire. His life was, do you know what that means, brother? His life was so completely transformed, so totally changed, that the governor released him. Not on parole, locked up his records. Can't bring him out again. Nothing against him. That reminds me of when I came to Jesus.
Yeah.
He did something like that with my records.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The devil has no access to them.
Hallelujah.
Satan can't get at him.
Hallelujah.
Satan can't accuse me in the presence of God. They're locked up. Wrapped up.
Amen.
Amen. Protected by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That mysterious power. Psychologists couldn't handle it. The intelligentsia couldn't handle it. Nothing could do it. But Jesus did it. That fast. In the snap of a finger, Jesus came in, changed Ted Jefferson forever.
Yeah.
Went to his funeral. Looked at him and wept. And when I think about that, and I think about you, and I think about you, and I think about you, and I think about sinners that have been saved, transformed by the power of God, the mysterious Jesus did something for you that the world can't understand and they can't explain. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And so I just love to read Romans 1:16 in view of all of this. Paul stands up and says, I'm not ashamed of it. I'd be ashamed of you psychologists.
Yeah.
I just read so much into that verse. I think Paul is saying, you psychologists, you can't hold a candle. You ought to go out of business. Really, you're not getting much done. And making a lot of money, but you're not accomplishing much. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm not being mean. I might be politically incorrect, but I'm not being mean.
That's right.
Telling you the truth.
Amen.
Go to Jesus.
Yeah.
Seek counsel from him.
Yeah.
After all, his name is capital C, Counselor.
Amen.
Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's Jesus. He's our Counselor.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, my wife and I had an experience. We've had to discuss these things pretty deeply. When you're a pastor, you really get not only challenged, but you get another side of the story brought to you sometimes where your compassion just runs out and you have a broader picture of things. But I can see the Apostle Paul standing there. You failed. You ought to be ashamed. You failed. You ought to be ashamed.
Yeah.
This educational institution, you failed. You ought to be ashamed. And then he jumps up and says, but I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that will dare believe it.
Amen.
Praise God. Then that mystery goes to work. Great is the mystery. Amen. It goes to work and it'll change. It'll change you. Praise the Lord. Give Jesus a chance, folks. I know the devil's been beating on you since you were born, and I know society is not kind to you, and I know you've been deceived by multitudes of professionals in this world, but give Jesus a chance before you quit. Give Jesus a chance before you put that knife to your wrist or that bullet through your brain. Give Jesus a chance. Praise God. He is the Master. He is the Savior. He is the Compassionate One. He is the Counselor. He is the Prince of Peace. He can bring peace to your marriage, peace to your family, peace to your home, peace in your job, but most of all, peace in your own heart. And that's where it all starts. Amen. Amen. I've got that article in a file right next door here on the Teen Challenge, David Wilkerson, and how the government was, they did a study on him, $200,000 grant to do a study on David Wilkerson. Why is he having all this success? Now, the statistics are that the social services has 2%, that was back when I got this article a few years ago, the social services has a 2% success rate, and here this guy, David Wilkerson, is having an 80% success rate.
Yes.
And he said, well, it's from the gospel, well, we'll give you money, but you have to obey our rules. He said, keep your money, I'm preaching Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And so, we're the ones that are still, thank you, brother. All right, I'm going to hurry on. My time, I just got the signal here, and we wanted to sing a song here so we can worship the Lord for who He is. Amen. I want to know if you know who He is. I want to know if you know who Jesus is. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say John the Baptist, others some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? He brings it down to a personal question, demanding a personal answer, an individual answer, right? Yeah. Who do you say? Just look at yourself, if you wish, and say, who do you say that Jesus is? Who is He to you? What does He mean to you? How significant is He in your life? Whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter stood up in the crowd, and he answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I think Jesus is still asking today, what am I to you personally? What am I to you personally? And some of the answers I hear ringing in my head are, well, my parents are members of such and such a church.
Yeah.
Oh, my cousin's a Christian. He's really a nice guy. And I like to hear Billy Graham preach on TV, but the question keeps coming back. But whom do you say that I am?
Yeah.
Whom do you say that I am? I didn't ask you what your cousin said or what your parents said or what Billy Graham said. Who do you say that I am? You see, this is why we call Him our personal Savior, because we make a personal decision. We give a personal answer to the question, who is this man who claims so much? Who is he?
Amen.
Amen. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, or Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. We're not going to learn about Jesus in this world's institutions of higher learning. But His very presence here today can speak to your heart.
Amen.
And convince you that Jesus is the Christ.
Amen.
The Son of the living God. And once you are convicted that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, more conclusions will follow.
Yes.
As you continue to read the Bible, amen. I know with myself, when I got saved, I started reading a book that I had never read before without being bored. That's the Holy Bible.
Yeah.
When I got the Holy Ghost, when I got saved, I began to love His Word, and I found it to be absolutely true, and I went to its defense when anybody would attack that book. Amen. I guess I figured it this way. Jesus wrote the book, and a man is no better than his words. And I met the man, and I love the man. I got to love His Word. The proof that I love Jesus is if I love His Word, because in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. So if I say I love Jesus and don't love the Bible, I wonder if I know who He is. And so I began reading the Bible, thinking that a man is no better than his word, could find no fault with Jesus anywhere, found Him to be perfect. Praise the Lord. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but my word shall not pass away. His word has survived every onslaught and intense attack from its bitterest foes, from generation to generation. And it will continue to survive until the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, that's where every man is going to face Jesus. Every man is going to face the judge of all the earth. And you know what? Every man is going to face the word that he spoke. I better read that word. John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him on the last day. He is Jesus, the prophet from Galilee. He is the Lord of glory. He is our Savior. He is our Master. He is our King. He is holy.
Yeah.
He is the one we worship.
Yeah. Amen.
He is no stranger to me. Let's stand and sing. He is no stranger.
He is my Lord.